Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. In the Olympian tradition, Elysium is the highest heaven the human mind can conceive. Join Hercules on his latest and greatest quest, making the life we live and the earth we share a paradise for all.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. My Olympian mission is to promote lifelong personal development, human empowerment, out-of-the-box thinking, creative self-expression, and a dedication of one's unique talents to community service. All of my labors in this lifetime celebrate the hero's journey in myth, legend, spirituality, popular culture, and in daily life. I firmly believe that the human spirit is essentially heroic and always seeking ways to express its innate nobility and greatness, and that a life fully lived, dedicated to actualizing the highest we can conceive, is the noblest expression of human existence. Tonight, I'm proud to bring you a special episode of Tenafly Mayer's Wellness Campaign, part of our Age of Heroes, the Elysium Project initiatives. And our first guest for tonight is Michael DeLucy. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you?
It's great to be with you tonight. And I'm really
same
blessed.
Here.
Thank you.
Now, tonight we have less time than we normally have. We only have half an hour. And I'd like to introduce you and your work to a brand new audience, as it were. You're someone who, like me, has dedicated themselves to their healing ministry, as it were. How did this life mission, this purpose, come to you?
Well, I think the best way I could probably share this with both our regular listeners and our new listeners is to share an opening reflection, if I can, explains what we do. Entering the world of hemispheric wisdom, within each of these presentations, it is our calling to explore dependable studies and research concerning natural, non-toxic therapies and diets that may both prevent and combat chronic disease. After each study, I will express my own insights on the information discussed, with the knowledge that with time and more revelation, that insight may change. Such is the nature of life extension, art, science, and research. That is part of the excitement and wonder in the work that we do. Hopefully, it will help each individual to discover what non-toxic natural therapies may introduce into their own lifestyle, thus attaining more vibrant health and peace of mind. That has been the calling to our spirit and both the analytical and creative aspects of our thinking. I affirm good health for us all. So basically, in that reflection, pretty much explains what we've been called to do from our youth, and probably till the end of our lives, we will be dedicated to presenting cutting-edge research and studies to those listening and those who might want to move forward in a more creative way concerning their health.
That is awesome. That is an awesome purpose and powerfully stated. How did you first get attracted to the concept of spirituality and health? Because you've combined the two very closely.
Well, I think
brain science, which is awesome.
Thank you so much. I know you're also interested in these fields of exploration. I think the passion for the arcane knowledge and the wisdom in our wisdom came at a very young age. I think within all of us, there is a passion for arcane knowledge. Not everyone will pursue that passion. I think when we're young, that passion is more obvious because it channels to the right hemisphere of the mind, where the invisible world speaks, are still wide open and receptive. So for me, it came from both my grandfather and my father. My father, back in the very early 60s, used to discuss vitamin therapy. Didn't know a lot about it, but he was interested in it. I remember vividly there was always a bottle of vitamin C in the medicine cabinet. As a little boy, somehow, whatever spoke to me, I always took notice of that. And there was also a bottle of multivitamins. And I'd say this is maybe 1962, 63, somewhere in there. My father was also very much interested in the paranormal. And he worked nights. He was a very hardworking man. He did factory work his whole life. And I remember him coming home with magazines such as Fate, Argosy, True Magazine. Mm-hmm. They were venture magazines. And those magazines were chock full of articles concerning the Yeti. UFOs were in abundance in these magazines. And me and my brother couldn't get enough of this. I mean, we just, he would leave them on the coffee table. And of course, we would fervently flip through these magazines and read the articles. And that was really where my inspiration came from my father and his father. My grandfather also had a keen interest in the paranormal. Where they developed this interest in the arcane world, if you will, I could not tell you. I could not tell you because they came from fairly strict Catholic backgrounds. But both my grandfather and my father had a keen interest in both holistic natural therapy. My father was mostly in that area. And the invisible world, the spiritual world, if you will, which went beyond traditional doctrinal religion into what is commonly referred to as a paranormal. So for me, that's where the influences came at a very young age.
With your brother as well, he was an artist, and his art is on par with any cosmic art that I've ever seen. So his art is almost shamanic in its expression. And so he was definitely influenced by the same things.
He certainly was. And I know he's listening and he's very grateful for your praise. His art is just beyond extraordinary. He actually started his art journey, if you will, sketching from the comic books, mostly Marvel. You know, that's where he learned his style and techniques at that time. But the cosmic work, the galactic landscapes, if you will, that inspiration came from Doctor Strange. I don't know if you've read the strip Doctor Strange at all, or if you're familiar with it. Yeah, well, that was it for him. That took him beyond the scope of the third dimension, well into fourth, fifth, and sixth dimensions. And he loved the way Steve Ditko drew the various dimensions and what have you that Doctor Strange would traverse, and Doctor Strange would battle these evil doers from these various dimensions, and that was his inspiration. There was no stopping him from there. He just couldn't get enough of it, and he thought Ditko's art style was just out of this world, which it was. It was.
It
if
is,
you go
yeah.
back and look, it was extraordinary. So that's where his influences came.
And he went past those influences and developed his own unique style and his own way of portraying the realms beyond the ones that we know in the waking reality. That's just one channel in a vast network of realities.
Absolutely. And I think, arcane knowledge, if you will, that, you know, it's just never ending, and the wide scope of it, you know, whether it be the paranormal or UFOs. I remember from there, from those early days, we began our own UFO group, and we published our own, mimeographed our own UFO magazine called Flying Saucers Unlimited. And we passed it along to our friends who couldn't be, some of which couldn't be less interested, but they became interested.
Right.
And my brother did the artwork. I did the composition. And I wish I had an issue around today, but I don't, because when we moved, unfortunately, from Nutley to East Rutherford at the time, we left a lot of this stuff in the basement. And it's now lurking somewhere in eternity, I'm afraid. But we had our own UFO group, and it was the sky was the limit from there in terms of our interest in both the unseen world and our adventures in the third dimension, if you will, in terms of art and comic characters and communing and communicating with other artists and writers. So that's where it all began for us.
I have to invite you to some of my comic book themed groups on Facebook. I have one dedicated to the Eternals. I have another one, Marvel's Hercules. I have DC's Hercules. So I'll invite you. I know you belong to a lot of my groups. I don't know if you're in those, but if not, I will invite you.
Well, that's great. I would like to know, what is there a difference between, because I'm not familiar with the DC version of Hercules. Can you give some background on that at all? Can you educate me in that area?
There are several versions of the DC Hercules. Marvel is fairly consistent. They're not totally consistent, and they have different variations, but DC is not consistent at all. Their Hercules is more a rogue than a hero. So sometimes he can act heroically, and sometimes he can act villainously. And depending on who's writing the story, he's either a hero or a villain. He's there in the earliest Wonder Woman stories, which sprang from his ninth labor, where he went to get the belt of Hippolyta to bring back to Hephaestus. So that's the story that gave birth to the DC's Greek mythology universe. And DC tends to focus on Greek mythology, and it has the other mythologies within it, but it's mostly Greek mythology based, whereas Marvel focuses more on Norse mythology, although it does have the other mythologies in its greater mythos. So they've done some wonderful things with Hercules in DC, and we have an episode dedicated to that this Sunday. One of the ones I enjoyed the most was Hercules Unbound, which was a post-apocalyptic tale where a heroic version of their Hercules was tied to a rock by Ares, and it was hidden until after the apocalypse. And he meets some companions, and he meets a lot of the Marvel characters like Kamandi and the Atomic Knights while he's trying to make sense of what happened. And he finds that something happened to the gods, and they were separated from the shadowy aspects, and that caused problems. And over the course of 13 or so issues, that story unfolded. It has been reprinted several times in several different ways, and they're reprinting it again now in color. I have the originals, they occasionally bring him back, but they killed Hercules very quickly in the last two incarnations. In the new 52, they killed him after a couple of issues. He was in the underworld fighting for thousands of years, and he'd gone insane while grappling with the terror that he was fighting. And in their rebirth universe, which is, I believe they're still on the rebirth, they had him in his more heroic aspect as the tutor and mentor of Jason, who in this story was Wonder Woman's lost brother. And
fascinating.
Killed after a couple of issues, but they used a more heroic aspect of him. So then there are, of course, tales where Hercules was actually Superman, or Superman was Hercules in some of the stories, you know, and they've had him come back and interact with Superman when Superman wasn't him, or he wasn't Superman. So
it can get quite complicated.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this can get quite complicated in terms of what DC is doing. Am I right?
Yes, even with Marvel, I recently got two books. One was called The History of the Marvel Universe, and the other one is a book on the myths in the Marvel Universe. And it seems that they have so much information that they did something very similar to what the ancient theosophies did, was try to fit it all together into a much bigger picture. And in reading things, which were told pictorially in lesser or greater degree, I thought of the old texts I'd studied during the Hellenistic era, where they took all the world's religions at the time and their mythologies, and they wove them in with abstract beings and before creation. And, you know, so Marvel's has so much information, so many stories now, that they're kind of doing the same thing. So it's very fascinating.
Yeah, it's an explosion of imaginative thought, to say the least.
Yes.
It says, I'll have to catch up. I'm totally out of touch in that area, but I'm definitely going to have to visit my comic store and catch up with some of these things.
Yeah, Hercules is now back. There's one version of him in the Guardians of the Galaxy currently, and then there's another version of him in a futuristic tale of the origins of Maestro, who's like the Hulk of the future. So
Wow.
Hercules has seemed very, very different. So I'm sure they have alternate realities, and Marvel has had a slew of alternate reality conflicts. So they've shuffled their realities. I still can't make sense out of all of it either, because I only follow certain heroes or certain titles, and it's been reduced over time. So right now I'm just focusing on Hercules and Conan, basically.
All right.
So I missed a lot.
I used to enjoy the Conan, I'm sure you remember these, back in, well, I think they were still publishing back in the 80s. I do have a pile of them downstairs in plastic bags. I haven't looked at them in a while. The Conan magazines in black and white, they were 8.5 by 11. Do you remember those?
Yeah, the Savage Sword.
Do you have any of those?
Oh, I have the whole run. I'm missing, I think, a handful of them that got lost in one of the moves. Between issues 1 and 30, I believe I'm missing 9 of them. I have all the rest from beginning to end and every other iteration of them. I also am missing only a handful of the original comics. Fortunately, I got what I'm missing in reprints, so I still have all the stories intact. But I was a very big Conan fan for very many years. I don't particularly care for what they're doing with him now, but that's happened before, and I'll stick with it.
I was also a big Conan fan, and I have the black and whites, but unfortunately, I don't have the expansive collection that you do. I don't know. I think I'm missing quite a few, but every month I couldn't wait to get to the store and purchase my copy, because I thought it was so superbly done in every way.
Yes, most certainly so. And we're going to be doing more episodes on comics, so you and I will have conversations about those in the very near future. For today, before we conclude, I love what you call your initiative, Bold Spirits Holistic Concepts. How did that name come about? That's very powerful.
I think that name came because, again, my interest in the arcane knowledge and the unseen, the knowledge that was reserved only to a few, whether it be the mystery schools, the UFO phenomena. To me, it applied to that search, to that adventure, to be a bold spirit, to go where few are going, as you do with your the pathways you've opened to the many researchers and exciting adventurers, if you will, into these areas. You have opened that pathway to your with your programs and podcasts, and that's where the bold spirits came in. I felt that it does indeed take a bold spirit to venture into that realm where we seek that hidden knowledge, that those places where few go. I think the voice calls to everyone. The voice calls to everyone, but only those with a true Olympian heart venture further into the unknown to seek and take hold of arcane knowledge. And that's why I term what we do bold spirits, because I think even today with the virus and everything, and as you know, for the last 7 months now, I've been aggressively sending the message home that there's another option here, and that's in our nutritional therapy. And I still think till today, while thousands are aware of it, thousands are partaking in it, doctors and medical researchers are talking about it, but not on mainstream media. That takes somewhat of a bold spirit to venture into that area, because it's an untouchable subject, especially those with medical licenses, I'm sorry to say, because they fear the FDA, they fear they may tread in deeper waters than they would like to be in. And in fact, the CDC, Center of Disease Control, last week, and you can get this video on YouTube, the CDC is now urging good nutrition to fight and prevent COVID-19. There is a video. And the host mentions vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc. That's a real breakthrough. So I think it takes a bold spirit to venture into all of these areas. The areas you venture in, your guests, your Olympian family, that's why I call what I do bold spirits.
And before we wrap up for today, I want to thank you for being so generous with your time and with your experience and with your knowledge. Currently, to the best of my understanding, you're sharing your journey through your writings, through your presence on Facebook, through your podcast, and also through your ministry.
Yes, I am a minister in the Christian denomination. However, my calling is to Christ consciousness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Christ means the anointed one. That's from the Greek, as you probably know.
Yeah.
And I believe at the end of the day, the anointed one, the anointed consciousness, is really permeates all religions. It may be called different things, and we respect all of the laws, bylaws, and theories of other doctrines, if you will. But my calling is to Christ consciousness. So I don't tie myself to any one denomination. My calling is to the Christ mind and all that it entails. That's part of my spiritual calling, if you will. And I believe what Christ wanted us to do, to bring peace, tranquility, and understanding, is to think through integrated mind, melding the two hemispheres of the mind and knowing how to shift from one hemisphere to another to achieve greater understanding in this lifetime. That's what I think Christ wanted us to do. And so we have a chart, and we share bicameral thinking whenever we can.
And I'm very blessed to know you and for us to be on this path that intersects a lot. And today you touched upon many of the topics we've talked about and others that we've yet to talk about. So I'm looking forward to all of those. Michael, how can people get in contact with you and how can they find their way to your writings?
Well, they can write to me at Michael Dorussi, Post Office Box 129 Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. It's Post Office Box 129 Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. I have a collection of poetry and art called One Passion Beyond, which definitely has metaphysical and spiritual influences, and I think they'll enjoy it. That's $10 a copy. And then I have my Creative Wellness Manual, which is a superb foundation dealing with diet and non-toxic therapies. That's a $3 donation. And when they write to me and they're dealing with a specific chronic illness or issue, I will pray with them. I will offer focused prayer and also counsel with them in terms of the condition itself. That's free of charge for as long as it takes.
Thank you so very much. What you do is awesome, and I'm glad to call you friend, and I'm looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, and I'm very blessed to be here, and thank you for the opportunity.
And Michael, I must let our audience know, has his podcast on Mount Olympus, and he's also a frequent guest on our other podcast. So by listening in, you can get to know Michael a lot better. We're going to take a very brief break, and then we'll be back with part two, where we're going to speak with Ryan Foley. So we will play the song Evolve.
Thank you. something evolved.
And welcome back to Mount Olympus, broadcasting today from CERN. I am Hercules Invictus, and I'm here to declare that the age of the victim is finally over and the age of heroes has begun. The way of the hero posits that one must utilize one's individual strengths to make one's world a better place. One need not be perfect or operating from ideal circumstances either. Are not the heroes that inspire us often tragically flawed? Are their lives not in a state of flux and full of uncertainty? Does this prevent them from attempting and accomplishing great things? Of course not. Our Age of Heroes initiatives have harnessed the creative energy and focused the attention of many heroic individuals with radically diverse backgrounds over the years, directing toward improving the collective quality of human life. The Age of Heroes welcomes secular, interfaith, and interfaith participation. Now, on the second part of our Tenafly Mayor's Wellness Campaign special episode, I am greatly honored to reintroduce Ryan Foley, who has given us many things, including the Phoenix Protocols and Fury and Strength. Greetings and welcome, Ryan. How are you?
I am doing good. In the issue of full disclosure, I just want to say that I am battling just a little bit of a respiratory issue. I'm fine. I'm 99% certain it's not COVID, but every once in a while, you may hear me go muted, so that way I'm not coughing directly into the microphone and blowing up the speakers of your listeners. But I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm glad that it's nothing serious. My allergies have been acting up. And I know that people are very concerned, you know, if they hear you coughing or sneezing. So I've been staying home more so than usual. And I wasn't going out very much before. But I'm doing that, you know, basically, again, I don't want people getting upset over it. But my allergies always act up this time of year. So I'll be sniffling and perhaps occasionally sneezing and coughing as well.
Well, I'll try to hold it down to a minimum.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, you are a very heroic individual. You've drunk from the deep waters of our collective unconscious, and you've given new shape to myths. You've participated in the formation of some of our culture's myths. That arose from the modern day mythic imagination, and you're dedicated to bodybuilding, and you've been phenomenally generous in sharing your path and progress through a blog, through a document, through your podcast, and I'm sure I can see you when you're at the gym with other people taking a personal interest in what they're doing and giving them pointers as well. So I want to thank you for your generosity.
Thank you very much, and I really do appreciate it. It's kind of one of those things that what developed out of this and where it originated from, it took me in a very different direction that I, quite frankly, wasn't prepared for emotionally and mentally whenever I started on this journey. And so that's why I think it's been so important for me to go through and explain the journey that I've been on, so that way hopefully people can come away with it. It's hard for me to use inspirational as a descriptor for what I'm doing, because I personally, and I do thank you very much for your praise, but I don't consider myself to be tremendously special or tremendously gifted. It's just been a thing where I've been on this journey for so long, I'm able to look back with a certain amount of wisdom that I wish I would have had whenever I first got started in this journey. So for listeners that are not familiar with me, and I'm very happy to be presented into this new to this new audience, quite frankly, I was not in a very good place. I'm going to say roughly going on about 6 years now, because of things that were happening within my personal life. And then, you know, just the fact that I'm growing older, that I was a parent, quite frankly, I was overweight. I was obese. And sometimes you come along and you come to this moment where you decide, I just don't want to be like this anymore. And so this is fueled by the fact that I was born in 1974. So I was coming up and raised during this time where the action hero had really started to evolve. This is where names like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, Jean-Claude Van Damme, these physical specimens were starting to dominate the film screen. And, you know, it's funny, I was reading Arnold Schwarzenegger's autobiography, and he was talking about how, you know, really before he came onto the scene, the big action heroes would have been people like, you know, Burt Reynolds and even Dustin Hoffman, you know, to an extent. So then he comes along, and now there had been some that had done many of the films that have inspired you, you know, the Steve Reeves, the bodybuilders that embodied the Herculean type physique. But Schwarzenegger was really one of the first ones to come along and really bring it mainstream. And so then when you combine this with my love of comic books, which go all the way back, and those are certainly mythical forms when it comes to physicality, the characters such as, you know, Superman and Wolverine, you have these warriors, and then the fact that I'm raised on things like G.I. Joe, you know, so it's a lot of military heroes, stuff like that. So I've always been inspired. I've always admired the male physique. I certainly love the female physique as well, but for very different reasons. But I appreciate the power and the strength that comes from the athletic form. And so whenever I was in high school, I played football, but our weightlifting strategies were more designed to develop raw power. It was all about shoving around, you know, opponents. So it was less about bodybuilding. And so as I started to delve in to this realm of bodybuilding, knowing that it's created such greats as Arnold Schwarzenegger and Lou Ferrigno, you know, I didn't understand that there was a legit science and a difference between weightlifting and bodybuilding. And so bodybuilding, the difference is, so with weightlifting, and in the most broad and general terms, let's say you're a football player and you're wanting to shove your opponents around, you're trying to build mass and you're trying to build strength. And in order to do that, it requires a lot of heavy lifting. And I think this is what a lot of people probably translate bodybuilding being the same thing, when in fact, it's a very different style of science. And I think if you were to explain the science of it, people wouldn't be as intimidated by it. And so by going through and studying that science, I think a lot of people are under the impression that I'm attempting to, that I'm going through and I'm just slinging massive amount of weight around. And really that's not the case, because like so many people, I'm still concerned about being overweight and having too high of a body mass index. So what I'm attempting to do through my training is to go through and preserve things like my shoulder carriage. I want to keep my chest. I just really want to get rid of my tummy. And so that's arguably one of the hardest things that you can do, because you have to still continue to eat in order to, you know, maintain your muscle mass while at the same time trying to get rid of that, of the fat, basically.
Right.
So in order to do that, I engage my muscles for a very long time by actually lifting lighter weights. So instead of only doing reps of 3 to 5, my rep range is extremely high. And in order to do that, you reduce the amount of weight that you do. So I think to someone that might be uneducated, they may look at me only bench pressing, you know, a small amount of weight and dismiss what I'm doing, but because they're not sitting there and paying attention to the fact that I'm putting up, you know, 20 to 25 reps as opposed to someone that's just lifting it, you know, 5, 6, or 8 times. So by engaging in this type of bodybuilding exercises, and the other thing that that's very important is that you're working all of your different muscle systems. I think this is the reason why you'll see people, they talk about their splits where they go through and they chop their workouts up. And, you know, today I'm doing shoulders. Well, so you just do one set of exercises and you're done? And, well, no, not really, because the shoulder has 3 different deltoids, and each one of those deltoids need to be individually stimulated, so that way you're building these nice, round, developed shoulders. So you're working out all these different, you know, you're performing a variety of these different exercises, so that way everything is developed in muscle symmetry. And so by doing this and by doing this resistance training, what the scientists have found is that every single sport can actually benefit from this style of resistance training. So if you're a football player, if you're a basketball player, if you're a baseball player, it doesn't matter, swimmer, cyclist, runner, every sport benefits from using this resistance style of training. And so that's why you're seeing more and more people make their way into the gyms in order to develop themselves physically.
I've been, I experiment a lot, as do you, and I find things that work for me that a lot of people raise their eyebrows at as well. But if something works, you know, I believe you should stick with it until it no longer works as well, and then, you know, experiment some more. I found great success with something called the X3 bar. And it was created by somebody who had invented some devices for osteoporosis, you know, like bone density. So he used his knowledge of physiology, and he asserted quite boldly that weightlifting and aerobics are a waste of time, you know. And he looked at the body in a new way and developed a new system of exercises. So I've been using it on and off, but mostly on for, I'd say like at least a year now. And, I must honestly say that things that I would get injuries on, like my shoulders, I used to frequently, I was used to getting shoulder injuries, even when I used like lightweights and high repetitions. I've yet to injure my shoulders using this X3 bar, and I'm handling a lot more pressure. So right now I'm doing that primarily for my like heavy lifting, and it's just basic exercises, and you do one set. And again, that I had a lot of resistance to doing only one set. It took longer to get through my resistance and to actually, you know, do the just one set. But a lot of my heavy workouts are done now in less than 15 minutes.
Wow. That's, well, and so I think that's a wonderful program, and it's just simply because I think one of the worst things that we can say, and this is not just involving, you know, with exercise, it's with anything. The worst thing that we can say is, well, this is just the way it's always been done. So I do think we need those innovators to come along and look at the science of everything and say, hey, I think we might have a better way to go through and do this. Some of those ideas may fall flat, but others may take off. And then you go through and you start doing that resistance training in a different style. And you start asking yourself, why haven't I been doing this all along? And I do understand the concept of the X3 bar. And I do think that it works very well in that. So for your listeners, you may see people and they're going through and they're working out with the rubber tubing. And it may look kind of curious if that's how they're going through and doing like their bicep curls. But just to explain the reason why those resistance bands work so well, whenever you go through, and so let's just say that you're going to go through and do a basic barbell or a dumbbell curl. So you're going through, and if you're going to achieve failure, more than likely it's going to happen. So if you're thinking of the body where you're positioned from the side, and so if your hand is pointing down at 6 o'clock, and then in order to do that dumbbell curl, your arm is going to go up to, let's say, about 1:30. So if you're going to fail, you're going to fail somewhere around 3 o'clock, and then your body is just going to give out. And then everything beyond 3 o'clock, everything to get from 3 o'clock to 1:30, that's what they would consider to be garbage time, you know, where you're not going to get the full amount of the contraction as you'll get whenever you're first starting out with that lift. So that's when you're dealing with free weights. The resistance bands actually flip that. And so it's going to be real easy whenever you start your lift because those bands aren't being pulled taut. And
right.
So the farther that you get up in the lift, the harder it's going to be. So it's just a different style of contraction. And
right.
So it works the arms a little bit differently. So I don't think one is necessarily superior to the other, but if you go through and you utilize both of those, now you're getting that peak contraction during all of your bicep curls. And so that's where I think it's important, like you said, to go through and alternate it. So maybe, you know, this 1 week we're doing the regulars, and then maybe we switch to the resistance band. So that way you go through and keep the body guessing. So that way you can go through and get the maximum contractions.
And that's an important thing you brought up, keeping the body guessing. In addition to doing that, I also switch off occasionally, you know, when I'm not going for like a full 12-week cycle or something, I'll switch off. And one of the exercises I do often is one that you shared on a previous podcast, which is kind of like a pyramid with fives. So you start with a very light weight, you do five, then you do five more, then you do five more until you can't do five, and then you bring the pyramid down, you know, to the lightest weight again. And I found that that gives me a phenomenal, unbelievable pump, even though I'm actually just using heavy weights for maybe one or two of those five rep cycles, and the rest of them are with light weights, and I could definitely do more. But just restricting it to five and keep climbing the pyramid on the upside and the downside produces remarkable pumps. And I do something, too, that I just kind of developed this on my own, but I'll do light exercises with a lot of reps using like hand grips or D-bells or very light dumbbells. And I've broken down, like, for instance, I have exercises for my fingers, for my hands, for my grip, for my wrists, for my forearms, my biceps, triceps, and then whole arm exercises like hammers and Zottmans. So I really break it down specifically for those, you know, and it takes me 2 to 4 days to go through my entire body. And I include things like voice in there and with my eye exercises and, you know, so everything that I could think of eventually winds up in this rotation that takes 2 to 4 days. And I find that if I stop doing that, I don't feel as well, you know, as I go through my days, and also I don't have as much energy in my workout. So I keep that in.
I do understand exactly what you're talking about. And for your listeners who might be tentative or want to know, you know, how to get started or the reason why we do this, again, because I'm so fascinated by the science of it. And so I'm very interested in brain chemistry and how this all
mm-hmm.
works and all
Me
the
too.
Different chemicals that our bodies can create. And so within this, I wanted to understand the science of it. And so basically, the human body, the human brain is capable of creating endorphins. And endorphins
right.
are a chemical that is not tremendously different as far as the chemical composition goes to morphine. And so, but the difference is that the endorphins that our brain naturally produces, they're not addictive. They don't fall off over time. And so basically the idea of it is we've all heard the expression, no pain, no gain. And
mm-hmm.
so what happens is, so you go through and you start your workout and then your muscles immediately start screaming and they're like, hey, we don't like this. This hurts. You need to stop. And so whenever you decide to mentally push past that pain barrier, then your muscles start screaming to your brain going, hey, he's not stopping and this really hurts and we don't like it. And so your brain will go through and compensate for that by going through and releasing natural endorphins to go through
mm-hmm.
and help mitigate that pain. Runners will often refer to it as the runner's high. Bodybuilders
yeah.
will refer to it as the pump. It is that expression from your brain that goes through and goes through and attempts to mitigate that pain as much as possible. So that way your body doesn't go through and physically shut down. So what you're doing is you're mentally pushing through in order to get your brain to generate those endorphins. And then as a result, you feel fantastic. You feel better. And this is why I highly encourage your listeners to go through and develop some sort of workout program that works best for them. But if they can go through and develop it in the morning, I've done both. I've worked out in the evenings, and then I've worked out in the mornings, depending upon, you know, my timetable. And I've found that I get better results throughout the day if I'm working out in the morning. One, there's less of a chance for something to come along and knock me off my schedule that will prevent me from going to the gym. And then it tends to be a little quieter in the morning. You know, there's not as many people up and about. And there is a certain feeling of accomplishment that you get whenever you know you're leaving out. It's still dark. The world's still pretty quiet. But you're going in there and putting in the work before the rest of the world wakes up. There's something just tremendously satisfying about that. And so by going through and in doing this, I found that through going through and doing this study and going through and developing these things intellectually, it allows me to harness my mind as well as harness my physical abilities. But what I wasn't prepared for whenever I started on this journey, and I wish someone would have told me, I haven't read about this in a book. It's not something that they talk about. But one of the tenets that I felt out of place whenever I first started going to the gym, I felt I was overweight. I didn't look like the other people that were there. So therefore, I was an imposter. I thought that everyone was probably looking at me. Whenever I was going to the grocery store and buying, you know, the protein powders and the recovery, you know, the BCAAs and stuff like that, I knew that when the girl was checking me out, checking my groceries out, she would be like, oh, yeah, protein powder, like, you need this. Or, you know, oh, like, you know, this is going to work. Oh, yeah, that weight belt, you really need something like that. Even though I knew that these were my own fears that were going through. But by going through and doing this, the piece of advice that I got was making fun of an overweight person in the gym is like making fun of a homeless person at a job fair. They're exactly where they need to be. And I think there are so many people that can be intimidated because they don't look like everyone else. And yet they're exactly where they need to be. And so what they need is, rather than people making fun of them or making TikTok videos of them while they're struggling, doing these gym fail videos, which I absolutely hate, they should be encouraging. And so that's kind of one of the things where I do keep to myself primarily whenever I'm working out, but I will comment to someone if I feel like they're doing something that could result in an injury. That's always when I feel like I want to step in. But by going through and encouraging that person, even if it's just a simple nod, a thumbs up, something like that, you know, just that little bit of encouragement where maybe, okay, now they're going to come back tomorrow. They're going to come back tomorrow just because of that little bit of encouragement that they got. And so as a result, and so maybe your path and your development is not going along as well as you had hoped. Maybe the weight isn't coming off the way that you thought that it would, but you can still continue to see those intellectual developments, and you can continue to see those emotional developments. And that emotional development, this willingness to come in and sit down and talk with you tonight about this, I never would have imagined that would have happened whenever I started this journey 6 years ago. But I feel like the amount of pride that I have taken in myself, that I've developed because of all this hard work, in no way have I ever looked at myself and thought, man, I'm beautiful. You know, it's just more along the lines, I'm proud of the person that I'm becoming, and I want everyone else to have that same level of love for themselves. You know, I mean, I'm the only person that I'm going to go on this entire journey with, so I better like myself if this is the person that I've got to spend the rest of my life with. So it's kind of one of those things, that's all I want. So if I were to go to someone and say, you know, hey, come to the gym with me, I'll lift with you, I'll help you out, I'll train you, it's not because I'm going, hey, Tubby, I think you could stand to lose 5 pounds. It's because I want you to feel that endorphin rush. I want you to feel that level of pride that you get knowing, hey, this used to be my max, and now it's my warm-up. To me, that's one of the best things. That's one of the best feelings that you can experience with work that that only you can put in and make happen.
And we're going to have to continue our conversation, but and again, I think very highly of you, and I will continue to think very highly of you, even though you tend to minimize your skills. But even with writing and creativity alone, you wrote some of my favorite graphic novels on Greek mythology. But that's another topic. Thank you so very much for being so generous and for sharing your journey with the 10 to 5 Mayors Wellness campaign. I post the links to the Fury and Strength, to the Phoenix protocols, and to your podcast. And thanks again for tonight. And I'm looking forward to our next conversation, Ryan.
I look forward to it as well.
Thank you. And how can people contact you and tap into your work?
Oh, I think the way that you promote everything on Facebook is the absolute best way. I'm one of the world's worst when it comes to self-promotion. So what you do for me is the absolute best way for people to find
Thank you. Awesome. So, and you promoted tonight, which was great. I saw that and I said, yay.
Yeah.
Well, I will talk to you.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to our conversation later on this month. I've already got, gone through it and done a little bit of research for whenever we talk next.
Fantastic. I'm greatly looking forward to it. And thanks to everybody who's joined us tonight, whether you listen live or whether you visit us later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. And know that the adventure never ends and that that's a good thing. Keep your mind positive and visualize where you want to go. Move in that general direction and amazing things happen. We're going to close with Bran Kerdorian's King of Dreams.